Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we're getting an update from Novo Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol NVO and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF. I am chatting with the executive co-chairman and acting CEO, Mike Spedborough. Now, Mike, there's a lot for us to talk about, a lot on the back of news releases that came out June 14th. I think everybody's up to date on Novo's focus in Western Australia, but now the focus is on the production facility. June 14th, you announced that you are going to be pausing production at the Golden Eagle production facility. This is planned for the end of Q3 of this year, so it gives you about, let's say, 3.5 months. Mike, before we get into some of the more detailed questions, give us an understanding of what came in, what factored into this decision to shut off production now.
Yeah, thanks, Corey, and good to catch up. So I think if we just wind back a little bit of history, most listeners will be aware, you know, since we started the oxide, we've always struggled with the grade. And, you know, it's no secret, we've been very open that the grade has been lower than we expected. And those that have been doing the numbers know that our mining costs have been a bit higher. So if you recall, in December, we put out a release that said that we'd optimized the oxide mining that we were doing and that we had expected it to be completed around about now. In reality, we've been able to extend it a little bit more to the end of the next quarter. So despite all the great work by the team in doing closely spaced grade control drilling, optimizing the costs, optimizing recoveries, mining approaches, we're at that point where the economic ore that is left in the oxide will be completed. So the plan is we'll run out of kind of mining in August, we'll complete processing in September, and we'll wind the processing operations up in October. And then we are pausing, but it is a pause because we're still focused on bringing forwards the Beatons Creek fresh. So kind of that's a little bit of an overview of history of where we are. You know, it's an unfortunate situation we are in, but there's no shareholder value in us in making oxide pit deeper. We don't create any value for shareholders. The costs don't work out. So unfortunately, we're taking the pause, which is impacting somewhere around about 150 people.
Now, what are the costs associated with this pause? As we near the end of Q3, how much is it going to cost?
In general terms, we have some redundancy payments with our people. We also need to close out some of our contracts. And then when we go into the pause, I don't like to use the word care and maintenance because we're essentially leaving the business in a position to start up as soon as we possibly can. So we will still have safety environmental people on site to maintain our licenses to operate. We'll still have a small team of processing and maintenance people who will make sure the processing plant is ready to go. And as you might have seen in the release, we're still drilling out the fresh resource. So between now and May next year, we are spending a lot of money to drill out the fresh resource. First, to complete the drill out of the known resource and then extend that. So whilst there's a pause, we're still quite busy and all of that busyness is focused on getting back into operations with the fresh as soon as possible.
So Mike, you're right. We have talked a number of times about the issue that you guys have had with grade in this oxide material. But it seems like there's also been a couple shutdowns at the mill due to, I guess, some issues within the mill. Is this also going to give you time to clean up the mill, get it operating a bit more efficiently?
Well, the processing plants run very, very well. We definitely had in the last 8 weeks a couple major events that took the plant out for 2 or 3 days, and we had to fix that unplanned versus the planned shutdowns, because you obviously shut down the mill regularly to replace liners in the mills, etc. So the mill is actually at the moment it's probably running best it ever has at the moment, good throughputs. But during the shutdown, we won't do a major refurb on the processing plant. It's in a good position. We'll do the normal husbandry things. We'll go around and check all the pipes, electrical, all of those things. There's a couple little mods, very inexpensive, that will do to help material flow. And before we go back in production, we will need to reline the SAG mill and do some work around liners in chutes and things around the crusher. So not a big requirement for us to spend a lot of money to bring the processing plant back up.
What about labor then? If you're letting go a number of employees, you said in the news release that you're going to stick to a lot of their contracts, but is it going to be difficult to get labor back in to restart the mill?
It's the biggest challenge we have in Australia, but particularly Western Australia. For your listeners who aren't aware, we're kind of having a battery metals boom, you know, through lithium and nickel and other materials and a lot of construction in the mine industry and expansion here in Western Australia. So combined with COVID and also, you know, the general impact of getting overseas workers into Australia, we have a labour shortage in Western Australia. So without doubt, Corey, one of the challenges for any restart will be securing labour. We are, as I talked about, the drilling and other things, the core professional team, safety people, engineers, processing maintenance people, planners, those people, we're still part of our team. So that's good. We'll have the core, but we will need to go and re-engage with our contractors in mining, and we'll re-engage with contractors for maintenance, and we will need to recruit a new team to come in and run the processing plant.
So you mentioned that you don't want to call it putting the mill or the processing facility on care and maintenance, but that brings up the question, what will it cost to keep the processing facility operational for when you do start it up? And then what costs are associated with restarting the processing facility?
So let's go through a few points of thing. For restart, there's two triggers, and we talked about this in the news release. We need to complete the feasibility study, which is well and truly underway. Key milestone for that feasibility study will be late July. There will be an updated resource for the fresh based on the amount of drilling we've done to date. Feasibility study will be completed in October. So that's a key milestone for us as a board looking at shareholder value to reaffirm and de-risk the startup by making sure we've got a good understanding of the grade, the costs, etc., for a restart. So that feasibility is a very important thing for shareholders to see a really solid de-risk plan. And then the second trigger is we need government approval to restart. So, you know, that timeline is a little bit unknown at the moment. So when we come to actually restart, we will need to do a little bit of that, you know, husbandry work on the processing plant. We will need to bring in the mining contractor to start stripping waste off the fresh. You know, some people have seen pictures in our release of Grant's Hill where we're doing the drilling. The top part of that hill needs to come off, and not all of it, but just enough to give us, you know, a 6 to 12 month leeway. We don't exactly know the full numbers until we complete the optimization of the pit as part of the feasibility study. So that's the major cost. Will be bringing the waste off the top of the fresh so we can go mining. There'll be a little bit of expenditure. We've got to put in a new haul road to reduce hauling distances, and that'll reduce costs. So, you know, we'll put out some clarity when the feasibility comes out on some of those restart costs, but we're not talking about numbers, you know, that are going to exceed, you know, $20-odd million. It's quite a very simple restart for us.
Okay, so you mentioned you're still drilling out this fresh ore for the feasibility study. How much more drilling needs to be done? What's the general budget for this? What more information can you give us here?
You know, in the release, there's a lot of detail, but essentially there's three phases of drilling. We've drilled out the resource up until a timeline of end of May, and then we drew a line in the sand, and all the drilling that had been done by that time has been used to update the resource, and that will go into the feasibility study. At the end of May, we still hadn't drilled out all of the resource. So the second phase of drilling is to keep drilling, which is underway with two drill rigs on site, drilling out the remaining known resource at 20 by 20, and we'll use that at a later date to update the resource. And then the third phase is we know there are extensions based on previous work many years ago to the fresh and the potential that the resource could grow bigger. So that phase three, we'll keep pushing along, trying to, you know, find the extent of the fresh. That'll be first done at 40 by 40 meter patterns. and then where we think its potential will close the patents up to 20 by 20. So we're expecting between now and May that we will spend somewhere in the order, depending on success, $10 to $15 million on that drill out. So that's a serious enterprise. It reflects our confidence in the grades, and in the release you would have seen some of the grades, very exciting. So that's the plan. Keep drilling the resource out. Again, why would you do this? When we restart, we want to have a very clear runway for the life of mine, for the fresh, so we can optimize our costs, optimize the production profile, and de-risk the plant.
So do you think that was an issue with the oxide material, that it wasn't drilled up enough, it wasn't de-risked enough, or it's quite frankly the oxide material just wasn't the grade that you were hoping for?
Yeah, look, a combination of all of the above, but I think an important point to note is the fresh does have different kind of parameters than the oxide. It's definitely more uniform. It's looking much thicker. So it's kind of got some free kicks, the fresh has, that the oxide never did, because the oxide sitting on top of the hills was a very big challenge mining. It definitely has been a big challenge in drilling out. And all of that has led to the difficulties in estimating the grade. And, you know, we've learned a lot from the fresh, but we know from the fresh now that that 10 by 10 grade control drilling was really important for us to get good reconciliations in the fresh. If you rewrite things, it might have been nicer to do that close-based drilling much earlier, which would have given us a better runway and understanding of the grade.
So, Mike, I know a lot of people are also wondering, if you're not mining the oxide anymore, you are mining it for about 3.5 months, then how much is it going to cost? How much oxide material do you have to get through when you do get into the fresh, or when you do make it to that time to mine it?
The majority of the fresh sits in Grants Hill, and it doesn't actually have a very substantial oxide blanket over the top of that. So the majority of the fresh, we actually don't need to mine through oxide material to get to the fresh. Definitely in some areas, Gold Crown, Edwards, some of the other areas, we've now mined the oxide, and the fresh sits right below the oxide and we'll mine that. So there's not a lot of kind of oxide ore mining that needs to be taken to get us to access the fresh. It'll be purely moving the waste material sitting on top of the fresh when we restart. And that will be done in a very logical manner. As we do always, you try to minimize the amount of waste to access the fresh, and to keep pushing the fresh back as we mine the, keep pushing the waste back as we mine the fresh.
Yeah, well, I assume this will also be outlined in that feasibility study. When we talk about the next steps after the feasibility study, it is the receipt of all required approvals. That's mentioned a couple times in the news release. Does shutting down the mine or pausing the mine right now improve the process of getting those approvals?
No, unfortunately, the two processes are very delinked. If we just talk about the external approvals required from government, so because of this location of the project in the Nullagine town, we need to seek advice from the Environmental Protection Authority in Western Australia on the approval pathway. So that submission was made in March. It's taken a bit longer than we expected for them to get back to us, but we are patiently waiting for them to come back and give us advice. In simple terms, they will do two things. They will immediately ask the Mining Department of Western Australia to start reviewing the project, or they may choose to do another round of public consultation where the public are asked to make comments on the project prior to it going to the Mining Department. So we are kind of busily or impatiently waiting for the EPA, the Environmental Protection Authority, to give us, you know, that advice on which pathway. One pathway is shorter than the other. We do need to warn everyone that, you know, in Western Australia at the moment, our approvals processes are taking much longer than people expected because of the busyness in the industry, which is why, you know, at the moment, unfortunately, we have to be a bit vague, 12 to 18 months for approvals. Once we know which pathway, we will work as diligently as we can to get the approvals done as quickly as possible. But at this stage, we can't be definitive until we get that advice from the government. as a project, you know, it doesn't have significant environmental risks. The key project for any of these type of projects where you're mining deeper ore is to manage acid rock drainage. We've come up with a really good plan for that. So we're just waiting on government to review our processes in terms of managing that.
So, Mike, when it comes to moving through this process of the feasibility and then getting these required approvals, all the other work that goes into this, I know that this mine pause came as a surprise to a lot of shareholders. So what can you tell us about expected news flow? What can investors expect so that they're not surprised again?
So there'll be in the near future, let's say next couple months, in terms of the operations, as soon as we hear from the EPA, we will be advising everyone on the EPA decision and what that means. So there'll be news flow on that. When the resource is completed, we'll be releasing that to the shareholders. And obviously the feasibility when that's completed will be released as well. And in the meantime, as the drilling program from the fresh continues, we'll update everyone on the results, which you saw in the release coming forward. So that's the key things that people will see over the next 12 weeks. To keep everyone up to date as we work rapidly as much as possible to get the fresh into production. And I just need to, you know, we put it in the releases. We have high expectations. The feasibility study will show a great project, but we do need to complete the feasibility. We don't want to, as a board, rush ahead and assume everything until we've done that work to de-risk the project and to make sure that it does add shareholder value.
Okay, so it sounds like you're very much taking your time a bit more with this fresh ore to make sure everything works out for you. Let's talk outside of the feasibility and potential restart of the mine. What exploration is going on? Because I know the company has shifted more back to being an exploration company, a lot of which was what investors got into Novo for, was the exploration at the large land package that you hold in Western Australia. What exploration is going on now?
Yep. So as we announced back in, I think, August last year, we have a huge land package. It's about 11,500 square kilometres at the moment, which is very large. I've previously commented that you'll see that number come down a bit. We keep going through the land packages we have, and if we complete assessment and we don't think it's potential, we hand the land back because it costs us money to keep the land. So we have a huge land package. And, you know, in August last year, we really gave, authority for our exploration team to go and look at commodities other than conglomerate gold across our tenements. And they have done a fantastic job of, you know, first pass exploration, boots on the ground. In some of the videos, you'll see, you know, geologists jumping out of helicopters to do rock chips, all of that type of work, some brilliant work. And we've now assembled a really good package of high priority targets. So in the west, our key focus now is on Purdy's North. We like that area because it has shown in our soil work and our rock chips really good potential for nickel. So we're accelerating Purdy's North. So we've completed the geophysics. We're gearing up to go drilling in Purdy's North. Between geophysics and drilling, we now need to work with the Aboriginal owners of that land, the custodians, and clear the land of making sure there's no heritage issues there so we don't damage their culture. And as soon as that work's done, we'll go drilling in Purdy's North. So that is very, very exciting. A reminder to everyone, when you look on the map, Purdy's North is adjacent to Australian Stock Exchange listed company called Azure, and they have a project on the other side of our tenements called Andover. So the region is already highly prospective for nickel, but we are continuing to see copper, zinc, other things in that area. So whilst gold may not be our number one commodity, it would be very remiss for us not to spend energy looking at these other commodities because they could bring great wealth to shareholders. we probably won't mine it. We'll probably find some way to bring money into the shareholders once we know what we've got. And then in the middle of our tenements is the exciting bit. Besha, very strong soil anomaly. We are waiting to go drilling there. Again, we just need to clear the land with the Aboriginal custodians, and then we will go drilling. And a reminder, Besha is south of the 10 million ounce De Grey Hemi project. So again, ASX listed. Shareholders can see that through the website. We're in the strange structural corridor, similar geology, so we're very excited about Besha. So we are very busy exploration across all of our tenure. So they are kind of the high priority targets, but below the area, we're still out there looking for other targets for drilling. A key focus for us for shareholder value, Corey.
Okay, let's talk about cash then, because within that news release of the pause of the production facility, it talks about the credit facility from Sprott Lending and how that's going to be paid off with the continued sale of Newfound Gold shares. Can you take us through where the company stands for cash and some of these other moving parts of where some of the incoming money is going?
At the moment, this operations pause doesn't change the overall financial position of the company. In some regards, makes it stronger because we don't have the operational risk going forwards. Plan still remains to complete the sale of the NFG shares, Tranche 2 as it's called, in August, and use that money to pay off the debt. So that'll be fantastic for us all with a company that is debt-free. So we remain in a robust position going forward. So it's very pleasing that, even with the operational pause, we'll remain in a good position.
So you mentioned some of the other companies that are right beside some of your attractive pieces of land. I received a couple emails asking, any chance Novo's going to combine with any of these companies? Any way that somehow they might work together on any of these projects to facilitate further exploration? Is that a possibility at all?
I think the answer would be any of the above if it will add to shareholder value. The only caveat on that is we do need to do some work on these projects ourselves, do some drilling. So we've got a good indication of what is the value of what we have. So you can then have a discussion. If they approached us or we talked to those people too early in the process, we may be giving away significant value, which is entitled by our own shareholders. So we'll continue our drilling of the highly prospective targets to some point in the future. We're not quite sure where it'll be, but there'll be some point where we are in a position to know whether that is a project that we would like to develop ourselves, particularly if it's gold, or if it's a project that is better to then consider working with other partners who might be in the area or somewhere else. So I would see all of this year, rest of this year, focused on drilling those targets, doing the assessment of the value, probably pushing into quarter one, and then we'll get a good look at what's the best pathway for shareholders. Our purpose statement is very clear. We have got the capability to explore, develop, and operate, but we are not tied to any of those if there's a better pathway to get shareholder value.
Okay, Mike, thanks for taking a lot of these questions. A final question regarding the team at Novo. We've seen a couple team changes, including management changes. How is the team sitting now to move forward with, in all fairness, a bit of a different strategy here?
Yes, so we're still well supported by Ronan, great CFO. He's a great part of the team, been around for a long time. Exploration, Kaz DeLuca is our general manager exploration, very, very experienced. She's brilliant at us in running that exploration program and aggressively looking for targets. Chris Martin, our general manager operations, even though we're going into a production pause, Chris is very busy at optimizing the remaining parts of the mining, then going into the pause. And then he will turn his attention to the startup. What does the operating team need to do to get going? So again, Chris is a very experienced mining professional, which is good. We've brought a couple extra bodies into the team. So We have Ben, who's joined us as the project manager for the feasibility study. So Ben has a very wide background in completing studies in gold and other commodities. So he's got the whole authority or responsibility to deliver the feasibility study, which is really, really important. We have a general manager, Chris Gotti, who is accountable for the approvals process. And so he's gearing up to hear what will come out of the EPA so he can drive the approvals process. And then we've also got another person that's going to join the team in the next week or so. And he's a project manager. And so his role is to sit on top of, in terms of process, not organisational, but to sit across the whole of the Beatons Creek project to make sure all of the elements come together and we're optimising the work that we're doing to get this done as quick as possible. So we have changed the team a bit. Given the pause, we've brought in more capability to make sure that we can complete the work for Beatons Creek as quickly as possible, but also, as I said, optimise it and de-risk it.
All right, Mike, we're going to wrap it up here. Again, thank you for taking these questions, and please, everyone, keep sending me your questions. I'll have Mike back on to answer any further questions on what's going on with the production facility, exploration, whatever you want to know about the company. Please email me, and I'll get those answered for you. Again, my email is fleck@kereport.com. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Novo Resources. Mike, thank you again for taking these questions. We'll chat again soon. Have a great rest of your week.
Absolute pleasure.